This is Cliff Compton, and you're listening to another wrestling podcast. Enjoy yourself.
It's time for another wrestling podcast with your hosts, Steve Credo and Jonathan Benjamin.
All right. Welcome to another wrestling podcast. I'm Steve Credo.
I'm Jonathan Benjamin.
And we are bringing you guys, well, another wrestling podcast, guys. And together, we are on our way to Brooklyn, Jonathan. We are headed to FWE Wrestling Refueled, baby. Are you ready to go?
Oh, I'm ready to go. I'm packed. I've got my sleeping bag. I've got my canteen. I got some MREs for FWE.
This isn't any kind of Cub Scout trip, you know, Jonathan. This is a wrestling trip.
Oh, I know, but be prepared. That's the old motto. But
Jonathan, we have breaking news right now. Do you know what breaking news is happening?
Oh, I know, and I am super excited about this. Go ahead. You can let them know.
All right, guys. Well, if you're listening to us right now, another wrestling podcast is fan-supported. We bring you an exciting podcast each week, and if you enjoy the show, you can now help keep us going. We have partnered with none other than ProWrestlingTees.com, and we will have several shirts up for sale.
Now, guys, I know what you're saying. I already have a bunch of wrestling shirts. Well, then we say to you, how about another wrestling shirt? As an added bonus, for the first 25 people who buy shirts from us, you'll also receive an exclusive AWP sticker and button.
That's right, guys. Wow, Jonathan. Some people say they make it when they're nominated for an Oscar. I say we made it because now we're on ProWrestlingTees.com. This is a great achievement.
Yeah, it's a great way for you to go out, clothe yourself, and help us out so we can keep bringing you amazing podcasts each and every week.
That's right, Jonathan. And like now, if you're saying, well, we're on Pro Wrestling Tees, how do we find you? There's several ways to do that, but the easiest one is to go to ProWrestlingTees.com/AnotherWrestlingPodcast, and you'll find us. There's many other ways to do it, but that's the direct way. We have two t-shirts up right now. We're going to be making a lot more, but guys, there's two shirts to choose from right now. There's going to be more, but right now we have Another Wrestling Podcast t-shirt in black with yellow writing and our website on the bottom. And then also, Jonathan, one of my favorite shirts, can you guess? I'll let you tell them.
It is Another Wrestling t-shirt. So
Wait, what does it say?
No, that's what it says. It says Another Wrestling t-shirt.
So you mean we can go to a Pro Wrestling Tees and buy another wrestling t-shirt?
Absolutely.
Wow. So what does the t-shirt say?
It says Another Wrestling t-shirt.
It's just another wrestling t-shirt?
Yeah, but it's another wrestling t-shirt.
I get it now. See, guys? See how clever we are? It's another wrestling t-shirt. Well, Jonathan, like you said, as an added bonus to the first 25 people who buy the shirts, we're going to know that you buy it. So basically email us at anotherwrestlingpodcast@gmail. Let us know that you bought it, and we will send you a sticker of Another Wrestling Podcast and your very own button of Another Wrestling Podcast. Well, what better treat is that, Jonathan?
No, that's once again just another way for us to say thank you for going out and supporting us. And these are limited edition. These are the very first merch items from Another Wrestling Podcast. So, that's incentive enough. You can say that you were one of the first people to ever have one of these.
Wow, that's great, man. We have merch. I love that word, merch. Hashtag merch. Well, Jonathan, October 3rd and 4th, this weekend, is FWE Wrestling in Brooklyn. St. Patrick's Gym at 9511 4th Avenue in Brooklyn, New York, on the corner of 4th Avenue and 97th Street. Jonathan, besides this wrestling show going on this weekend in Brooklyn, do you know that it's also going to be on iPay-per-view?
I noticed that. I think, and I'm not 100% here, but the first night will be streamed live on YouTube for free. Now,
for free?
That sounds crazy, but I'm just telling you, you have to get on to fwewrestling.com and you subscribe to their mailing list and you get the URL for the first night, and it's going to be a stream and it's free.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, we've known FWE Wrestling for quite some time now, and I don't know, Jonathan, this is going to be a great night for us. Another wrestling podcast will be there live Friday night. I'm excited, man. This is going to be a great show. There's a lot of things going on. I mean, night one, just to name off what's happening before we even get into our show, we have Bad Influence versus the Young Bucks. We have Tommy Dreamer and Ivelisse versus Joey Ryan and Candice. Adrenaline Express and versus Tony Nese and Jigsaw. Drew Galloway. Drew! You know who Drew Galloway is, don't you, Jonathan?
Yes. His name in WWE was something like Drew McIntyre, I think.
That's right. The chosen one, Drew Galloway versus Carlito. Also, I mean, so much more, Jonathan. We're going to see one heck of a show, followed by night two in Brooklyn, just to name a few things. We're going to have Maria Kanellis, the women's champion, versus Ivelisse Velez. And do you know something about Ivelisse Velez, Jonathan?
Yes, we actually have her in another wrestling podcast studios today.
Yes, we do. We're going to be speaking to her in a few minutes. But also, night two, do you know what's happening? We're having Sanjay Dutt versus Chris Sabin. That's going to be one heck of a match. I don't know about you. And do you know something about Sanjay Dutt?
He is the original playa from the Himalaya.
He is, but he's also in the studios tonight with us, joining us live.
I can't wait. This is going to be amazing.
It is. But all in all, guys, I mean, if you're listening to us right now and you're hearing us say FWEWrestling.com, that's when you continue to listen to our show, but also head to FWEWrestling.com and make sure you guys have tickets for this weekend in Brooklyn, New York. It's going to be one heck of a show, Jonathan, and I'm excited. You're excited. What else can I say?
I think you've pretty much covered it. Our excitement levels are through the roof.
They are, guys. But before you can see her this Friday and Saturday night in Brooklyn, we are joined by possibly one of my favorite women wrestlers going today, the Huntress, Ivelisse Velez.
Super excited today. We have none other than former WWE Tough Enough contestant, current women's ass kicker, Ivelisse Velez. Ivelisse, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, man.
We are going to be talking all things Ivelisse today, but first and foremost, we're going to be talking about some upcoming shows you have. FWE in the city on October 3rd and October 4th. There's two shows. The first night, October 3rd, you'll be teaming up with none other than ECW original Tommy Dreamer to take on Candice LeRae and Joey Ryan.
Pretty excited about that.
Yes, this is going to be an amazing match. What are some of your thoughts on this awesome mixed tag match?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, I get to work with Tommy Dreamer. I mean, he's obviously a great person to learn from. And it's the first time the first time that I team up with him or work with him. And it'll also be the first time I work with Joey or Candice, even though I did do a tag match before with Candice, but I haven't been against her. And I know a lot of people have been wanting to see that me against her, because it was originally supposed to be me versus her, and then it ended up being a tag match. But a lot of people really wanted to see that, and I really want to see it, because Candice obviously is very, very talented. Definitely because Joey and Candice are a very well-established team. So they're definitely going to be a pretty tough team to beat. I look forward to that day.
All right. Well, not only are you fighting them on the first day, but the second night, you're going to be taking on the current FWE champion, Maria. What will the outcome of this match be? Do you think you could be possibly walking away with the FWE Women's Championship?
Well, definitely with my hand raised, becoming a double champion. Well, I feel that it's going to be a pretty good matchup. Last time on the last show, me and her were teaming together against Katarina and Angelina Love, and we kind of had a little bit of a heated moment there. It'll definitely be very interesting to see how our dynamic will be for the second night. And I definitely look forward to taking that championship. She held it for a little too long, so see what happens.
Okay, so this is something that I'm very interested to hear your answer on. Are you currently happy with the state of women's wrestling today?
Specifically speaking, or in general?
Just you're out there, you're out on the road, you're going from place to place, you know, even lump in WWE, TNA, wherever you want to talk about. Do you think it's on the upswing? Are you excited for the future?
I feel that obviously women's wrestling was at a pretty good high, a couple years ago. But now I feel like a lot of us independent girls are really, really trying very hard to kind of bring that back. And I feel like it's obviously still pretty difficult, and it's going to take a lot more from us, you know, and hopefully the view from the power, you know, higher ups and all that, from, you know, the big time companies or whatnot. Hopefully they can start, you know, opening up more to the girls who actually want to bring female wrestling, as a, you know, to its purest, more chances, you know, and little by little here and there, you'll see, like, for an example with, you know, with Paige and WWE, or, you know, Havoc now and TNA, and, like, you know, and of course there's other ones. But like little by little, you can see that little, you know, string of hope here and there, and hopefully it continues. It's going to take a little time, like any other change, but I feel like at least, like, you can see the effort that we as a whole, you know, us women are making to try to bring it back to that, you know?
Absolutely.
So I can only hope that it gets to that.
All right. Now, everybody knows you that you're on WWE's Reprisal of Tough Enough. You were eliminated after suffering an injury. Do you think being on the show helped your career or hindered it? Or maybe you could tell us a little bit about that experience.
Well, I can't sit here and say it didn't, because it definitely did. I met incredible people in the Tough Enough filming, you know, producers from the actual network, or, you know, WWE actual officials. Like, I met a lot of great people, and it opened up doors for me, for, you know, like I said, network people that don't have to do with WWE or people with WWE, it opened up doors for me on that big scale. So it definitely helped my career. And the only way I could say it kind of hindered it is like now, you know, forever I will have everyone always, former WWE contestant. So it's like, I'll always have that in my name, but I actually had wrestled for like 6 years already by the time I entered that. So it's like, that wasn't the beginning of it all. It was pretty much a stepping stone to, you know, to get more exposure or get more noticed by officials and try to sneak my way, you know, into whatever door I may open with that. So, but it definitely was a big help.
Okay. So what is the best thing, about being a professional wrestler, just in general? Like, you know, most people wake up and they have a 9-to-5. So what is it about professional wrestling that you love so much?
Honestly, I am obsessed with the art form. I think someone had asked me something like that before, a couple days ago. I love and am absolutely in love and obsessed with the art form of telling a story and creating emotions to whoever's viewing that story. And you know, it's it, every single time I'm in the ring, it's like a puzzle for me, because, and I just enjoy that. I enjoy trying to put that puzzle together to create, try to create like a, this masterpiece that, you know, evokes these emotions in whoever watches it, you know? And, that's how I see it. That's, you know, everyone's different, but to me, that's what motivates me. And also to be able to be an inspiration for others is a definite big plus as well for me personally. So I would say it's a combination of both of those.
All right. Now I asked you a little bit about Tough Enough. One question that I'm kind of curious about, does it bother you that the only survivor from your Tough Enough season?
I already know what he's now.
Is Cameron, or, I mean, I don't know.
Look, I can't sit here and tell you that it doesn't, because obviously it does. I'm a human being. I'm not going to sit here, though, and say bad things about her, because I have nothing against her. She never disrespected me or anything like that, that I know of, to my face or anything. But obviously I'm going to say, you know, I'm going to say honestly that obviously it does bother me. It bothers the hell out of me as much as it probably bothers the hell out of everyone.
It bothers me, just for the record.
But hey, what can you do? Can't do nothing.
Yep.
So I'm going to ask you just a quick question, and maybe you've thought about this, maybe you haven't. If you had to create the perfect women's wrestler by taking certain things from one and another or whatever, is there like a formula that you have? Like, you know, Trish Stratus's brain and Fabulous Moolah's, like, I don't know. Is there any, like, do you find like that there's a like, perfect combination of the greatest women's wrestler of all time?
Well, that is a question I would have to sit and think about. There's so many different wrestlers and everything, but honestly, I would like to say that I try my best to actually be that. Like, I always try to absorb everything I see, and not just women wrestlers, even male wrestlers. Anything I see that would inspire me, or like inspires an idea for me, or even, you know, a certain guy or anything, I always try to, you know, I'll grab something, but I'll twist it, or I'll grab something from two different people, and, you know, like I feel like you can always learn from other people. Learning how to, you know, different types of selling from different people, or, oh, that person sold it like this, so that looks better if you sell it like that, or anything at all. Like, at least I can say for myself, I try to be the best I could be, and try to be as innovative as possible and everything. But, really put it together like that, I would have to really sit down to give you a really accurate answer to that, because I haven't really thought about that.
All right. Now, as a young Ivelisse, did you grow up, you know, watching WWF? And if, I mean, like, I'm sure a lot of everybody pretty much did, but I mean, was there somebody that you were just a really big fan of? And who might have shaped who you are today? Is there anyone that you take, you know, interest from, or, you know, inspiration from into your character?
Growing up, my brother was a way bigger fan of wrestling growing up, honestly. I didn't really watch as religiously as he did and whatnot. I was more of an athlete than my brother. And I can just say that the one person that really I was a fan of was Stone Cold Steve Austin. All right. And so I could, if I would say anyone, it would definitely be him.
Okay. So here we are, lightning round. First thing that comes
I wish y'all could see my face. I'm like,
okay. So, name your professional wrestling idol. It could be today, yesterday, whoever. Who is the one person that you idolize in professional wrestling?
Austin.
If you weren't a wrestler, who would you be?
Oh, I would be a movie star.
5 years from now, where do you see yourself?
In the movies. As a kick-ass action, female action movie star.
Which word is more offensive for women's wrestling, diva or knockout?
Neither are offensive. Okay. I mean, it depends how you present it, I feel.
Okay. Favorite city to perform in?
Favorite city to perform in? Can I say my island, Puerto Rico?
Absolutely. You can say whatever you want.
Okay.
What's your best quality?
My best quality? See, that's a tricky question because some might see it as a strength and some might see it as a weakness. So, my take no bullshit attitude.
Okay. Then what, if that's what you think your best is, then what do you think your worst is?
My worst is, maybe my take no shit attitude.
That's awesome.
I don't know. I don't know. I guess my worst would be, no. Okay. Honestly, my worst would be, that I'm very, very, very hard on myself. I'm like my own worst enemy and my worst critique.
All right. And how about the best women's wrestler in the world today?
The best women's wrestler in the world today, the Elise Hunter Velez.
That's it.
That's what we were looking for. Now, awesome. Is there any place that fans of our show or fans of you can find you? Are you on all the social media?
Yes, Twitter @RealEvilise and Facebook Evilise Hunter Velez. Those are the two main ones.
Evilise, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Wow, that was a great interview. I'm looking so forward to seeing Evilise Velez this weekend at FWE, both nights, Friday and Saturday. She has a tag match and a women's championship match. I'm rooting for you, Evilise, and can't wait to see you walk away with the championship. But now, without further ado, we get to talk to one of my favorites, the original playa from the Himalaya, Sanjay Dutt. Sanjay Dutt, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you guys having me.
Just kind of a generic question, I guess, but most pro wrestlers can kind of pinpoint a moment that made them decide that they wanted to become a wrestler. I've seen on other interviews and stuff that you said that you've watched it and your father watched it, but do you have any sort of memory or anything that said, like, after you saw something, you said, this is it, this is what I'm going to do?
You know what? Not one specific thing. I think it was just the whole package of pro wrestling. It wasn't one specific thing. It was just everything that went into pro wrestling, watching on television, where I was like, this is so cool. And you know, to be honest with you, man, I never really set out to make this a career. I never set out for anything that happened, really. You know, I thought that this is something really cool that I want to do, but never did it cross my mind that I could really make a career out of it until I got into it.
All right. Sanjay, how important to you is your Indian heritage in wrestling? Because, I mean, there's not too many guys, at least, you know, in North America, I would say that, you know.
Yeah.
That, you know, how is it important being, you know, with your Indian heritage?
Well, I think it's kind of, I think it's very important. You know, in pro wrestling, anything that's different, you got to exploit that. And, you know, that's the key to pro wrestling is standing out and being different and exploiting anything that makes you different. And what made me different from day one was my heritage, the fact that I spoke another language, the fact that I didn't look like everybody else, the fact that I didn't act like everybody else. So, you know, I kind of took that and ran with it. I ran my own tour of India this February. I've been to India for TNA for a ton of times. You know, it's opened up a whole big set of doors. We did Ring of Kings season one in 2012. You know, all these opportunities would have never gotten thrown my way if it wasn't for my heritage.
Now, speaking of Ring of Kings, how was that? Because I know that Jeff Jarrett was really integral in that, but he had you helping. Did you enjoy not only like bringing wrestling to India, but also doing some of the behind the scenes stuff, I would imagine?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was the first time where I was put in that type of role. It was brand new. So, you know, it was an opportunity for me to kind of learn a different facet of things and kind of learn a whole new job, really. And, you know, it was pretty cool because, you know, since then on, I was just being in the ring and being a talent. And now I was behind the scenes and I was, you know, orchestrating things here and there, and I was getting pulled in a million different directions, but I loved it because, you know, it was an opportunity to learn a whole new side of the business.
All right. Now, Sanjay, October 4th, FWE Wrestling in Brooklyn, New York. It's going to be Chris Sabin versus Sanjay Dutt. Are you excited to be wrestling for FWE? And secondly, what do you have in store for Chris Sabin?
First off, I love FWE. I'm so excited to come back. Geez, I don't think I've been there since, and I think maybe the last show was last December, if I recall correctly. But I've been with them for quite a few years now. It's probably the best crew, and not just talent, but I'm talking backstage. I'm talking everybody that has anything to do with that promotion. It's the best crew that you'll ever meet, the nicest people, and I'm just I'm so honored to be a part of it for so many years now. And October 4th is October 3rd and 4th, I'm going to be on the 4th versus Chris Sabin. Chris Sabin is a good friend of mine, one of my best friends. And, you know, we've been in the ring a ton of times, but this is probably the first time we've been in the ring, I'd say in 5 or 6 years. So it's going to be really cool. We both I want to say evolved into completely different performers, and, on the good side. You know, Sabin came back from 2 knee surgeries. He became world champion. So it's going to definitely be a really cool night, especially for me getting in there with a good friend of mine like Chris Sabin.
Now, for fans who haven't had the opportunity to see you lately, what have you been up to?
Everything, man. Whatever comes my way. This year, this year's probably been one of my busiest years. I've wrestled in now in 8 different countries since January 1st. You know, that's just this year. I went on an international rampage this year and just kind of went, got on a plane and just started flying everywhere and wrestling everywhere and just kind of sharing my love of wrestling with the rest of the world.
All right, now, Sanjay, you had a great run in TNA facing some of the best wrestlers out there today. What do you think maybe the crowning moment for you in TNA would be?
I don't know, man. Maybe it hasn't come yet. Just 2 weeks ago, I did 2 shows for TNA, so I still am there, kind of here and there. You know, I pop up once in a while. But I don't know. I think the basically the crowning moment would be getting to TNA, and because when you get to a level like that, you know that you've kind of made it, and you know that, you know, you can kind of make a living being a pro wrestler, which is something that anybody that's starting on independence kind of strives for, kind of dreams of, and it always seems like unattainable. You know, it's just such something that's so far out of reach, but when you get there and you actually get it, you realize, man, that's really, really cool.
Can I just say that I think it's time that you've won the X Division title, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say that needs to happen sooner than later.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. I appreciate that, man. Appreciate that.
You were speaking about TNA, and we did see that you had wrestled a couple of dates not too long ago. What are your thoughts on the current direction of TNA? Like, are you happy that they're kind of... I know that they're looking
Well, I was just gonna say I've been watching the TV, and you know, it's been really fun for the last month, I'd say. Those New York tapings were it's a really fun show to watch lately, and I think it goes back to the fact that you're concentrating on wrestling and you're giving a wrestling heavy show, and that's what the fans of TNA want. I think that pro wrestling fans in general want that, but I think specifically the fans of TNA were so accustomed to getting good quality wrestling matches that got time, and they didn't get that for a long time. So now that they're going back to it, I think that it's made for a much more fun show.
All right. Now, as a pro wrestler, you're traveling all over the world to wrestle. Is there anything you could talk about briefly that, you know, about life on the road, basically? Is there anything that you love about it or hate about it?
I love it, man. I love seeing the world. through wrestling, I've traveled the world, I think about 14 different countries I've wrestled in and stuff like that. So to me, I'm a big guy. I'm a big mark and guy that where, you know, you get to a country that I just want to do all the tourist stuff. I mean, I want to take pictures because, you know, the life is short, man. And there's a big old world out there that, you know, I haven't seen and I want to see every little bit of it. And I love that. Probably the worst part of traveling is just being away from home. And I have a family at home and a wife and a kid takes precedent over everything else. So, you know, having to leave them and being away from my family, that's the tough part.
Okay, now we may be a little late on this, but I recently found out that last year you were, or maybe you weren't, but I'm hoping that you were part of a rap song.
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
So how did that come about?
Let's see. I met a guy in, I want to say Detroit. His name is Ashoka. He's a rapper out of Detroit. And I'm a big hip-hop fan. Next to wrestling is the only other passion really I have is hip-hop. And I'm not talking just music, but the whole life, the whole culture, everything. So I said, well, hey, man, let me get a CD and I'll check it out. And I checked it out and I fell in love with it, man. He was a really talented guy. And we became friends from there. And, you know, he came at me one day and he said, hey man, you ever thought about rapping? And I have no musical talents or abilities at all. And I said, I would never even think of that. And I would just embarrass myself and people be dogging me on the internet left and right. He said, no, let's just give it a shot. And we did, man. And I mean, like I said, I got no musical talents. It ain't the greatest thing, but you know, I did it. And I was kind of proud of the fact that I kind of put myself out there in a completely different light. I think it's track 11, Ashoka, Heart of a Lion. It's on iTunes. If anybody wants to check it out, check it out, man. If that's your bag.
Now, before we let you go, we have a little bit of a lightning round, we call it, kind of like word association. We'll ask you a quick question, and then you just give us, you know, the first thing on your mind, pretty much, okay?
Go for it.
Your favorite Kevin Nash gimmick?
Ooh, I'd say Diesel.
Okay, not your favorite wrestler of all time, but who is the best wrestler of all time?
Oh, jeez. I'm going to go with Sabu because he's also my favorite.
All right. What's your hidden talent nobody knows about?
Hidden talent? Jeez Louise. I don't know, man. You kind of put me on the spot now. I like to draw. I'm not too good, but I like to draw.
Okay. Name one wrestler that you'd like to work with today that you haven't yet.
Let's see. AJ Styles and I've never had a singles match. So
okay.
AJ Styles or Sabu. We never had a singles either. We only did tags.
All right. Favorite music? Favorite type of music?
Hip-hop.
All right.
Hip-hop.
If you could describe Jay Lethal in one word, what would you say?
Oh, man. It's two words, but best friend.
Okay.
How about WWE?
Top dog, I guess.
Okay. Favorite type of food?
Sushi.
And the one championship you would love to win?
Oh, you said it already, man. The next title.
All right, perfect. Sanjay, we really appreciate you joining us. Guys, check out October 4th, which will be fighting Chris Sabin for FWE Wrestling. And Sanjay, where can the fans find you, too, before we let you go?
Yeah, absolutely. Check me out on Twitter, at Sanjay Dutterson. And then I'm on Facebook. I don't know, search my name. And the one that's me, I got a hat on and some speakers around my neck. So check it out.
You also have a pro wrestling tees shop, correct?
ProWrestlingTees.com/Sanjay Dutt. You're a smarter man than me because it didn't even cross my mind.
We do our research.
I just put a brand new shirt up like 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, cool. Check it out, man.
All right, Sanjay, we really appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us.
No, thank you, guys. It was a blast.
Credo, you know what really just grinds my gears?
What's that?
The lack of depth and the lack of good use for the Intercontinental Championship right now.
You said it, brother. You said it.
I know that I'm spoiled. I was brought up in the 80s through the Attitude Era and whatnot, but that belt used to stand for something.
It did. That was the big number two belt. I mean, if you had that belt, you were pretty much in line next to receive, well, kind of in a way, you know, that push to the WWE Championship. And where has it gone, Jonathan? It just seems to not... Well, it's kind of coming back, but you know what I mean, where it's been stuck lately.
We all know the Intercontinental Championship has a long and storied history. The very first time that it was debuted was September 1st, 1979 in Rio de Janeiro, with Pat Patterson being your first ever Intercontinental Champion. If that doesn't set a standard, I don't know what does, but... Like we've been saying, you know, the importance of this belt in recent years has been what I like to call watered down. So, you know, Credo, what are some of your favorite, like, memories of the Intercontinental Championship?
Sure. This is one of my favorite championships. I don't know why. Like, I mean, growing up, to me, the Intercontinental Championship was, like, the big number two. Regardless if I knew what the actual meaning of it was, you know, it was like, if you had this, you were the number two guy. My biggest favorite memory going back with this is definitely when it was Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan, WrestleMania 6, and it was title for title. You know what I mean? Like, it was the number one guy versus the number two guy, and that was like, you know, that was it. You know, that was the belt, like, you know, like, that made you the number two guy. Okay, granted, you can't be the number one, but it made you the number two. But to get into it, you know, it was just great to see that. And it just had more meaning to it, you know what I mean? Like, granted, down the line, all these other titles came out, and the IC belt kind of took backseat sometimes. It kind of got pushed down to the more of a mid-card belt instead of being, like, the number two heavyweight belt. But, you know, that's the one big memory I have, with the Ultimate Warrior holding on to it. And even, you know, changing the color back then to, like, yellow, making it, like, a yellow championship. That was kind of cool. And then even Cody Rhodes bringing it back, bringing the old-school belt back now that it's white. I mean, I hated when they redesigned it. I love the classic championship belts. They don't really have to, you know, reinvent the wheel for this, but keep that look, you know. It's such a classic look, and it works today as it did back then.
Yeah, I'm going to just go off of what you were saying, and some of my favorite moments definitely involved Ravishing Rick Rude. He had a bunch of, you know, I think it was him versus the Warrior where he won the actual Intercontinental. Actually, I know it was. He won the Intercontinental Championship, and he actually had the old school Intercontinental Championship airbrushed on his tights.
Yes.
It was just fascinating and amazing, and I think that Rick Rude is definitely one of those guys who never got the WWE championship, but he was the epitome of what that belt stood for, because the person who had that belt was making the number one person, whether it be Hogan or Bret Hart or Warrior or Shawn Michaels or whatever, making that person look just great. And I'll never forget, you know, some of the other champions that we had, Owen Hart, Edge, Christian, any of those guys, they have had several runs throughout the years. And I just think that the Intercontinental belt is the working man's championship. Once you get the World Heavyweight Championship, it was kind of, to me, like, yeah, you're on the top. But, like, the guys that had the Intercontinental Championship were the ones that were putting on the matches of the night.
Yeah, I mean, fast forward to what's happening today, like, right now your current champion Dolph Ziggler, I think, is probably, you know, what's the best word to describe it, like, the poster child for the IC belt. He's a workhorse, you know, he puts everybody over, he has great matches with anybody. And I was kind of mad how they jumped back and forth with him and The Miz winning it recently. It should have just always stayed on Dolph. And, you know, like, he's kind of putting the prestige back into it, so to speak. I mean, having that kind of worker carrying the belt makes it look more important. And I hope, you know, they stick with it, and I hope they just make it, you know, back into that number two place. I hope they bring it back to that spot. But, I mean, do you think the WWE should get rid of, like, the United States Championship and solely focus on the Intercontinental Championship? Do you think they're too similar, that they should just be into one championship?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, back when there was a draft in like the brand split where it was actually like Raw and SmackDown, I understand the importance of multiple titles, but right now it's the same reason that they don't have two World Heavyweight Championships. They don't need two number two belts. They don't need the United States Championship and the Intercontinental Championship. And to be honest, whenever I'm thinking about a pay-per-view like Night of Champions we just had, or, you know, whatever, I'm thinking to myself, who is the United States champion at this time? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I know it's Sheamus, and I do like Sheamus, and I think that him and Cesaro have been putting on really great matches, but I think it just broadens the pool more whenever you only have a couple of belts that all these people can go for. So I would definitely be, if I had to vote, I would definitely vote the United States championship, which just, you know, vacant for a while, and, you know, 10 years down the road, 5 years down the road, whatever, if there's a need for it, then bring it back. But for right now, I think the Intercontinental Championship, the World Heavyweight Championship, the Divas Championship, and the World Tag Titles are the only belts that WWE needs.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different time right now. There were so many things going on back then that they had so many other championships, and then they kind of condensed them down. And now I think it's time. This is probably the only belt left that they really need to condense. And, you know, I mean, how many mid-card titles do you need with the United States and the IC Championship? I figure one belt, keep the Intercontinental Championship around, and voila, there you go. It's more important now, and then you don't have to guess who the U.S. Champion is, and it doesn't make sense anymore. But it also, I don't know what they're going to do with it. So I don't know if they're holding off for another year to see what happens. But I think that definitely should be made into one title. And, you know, it has to be that number two title, because it's like a lot of these guys aren't getting pushed to that number one spot. But they're such amazing workers that, you know, that IC championship really needs to mean a lot more than what it used to be. And hopefully, you know, it comes back one day, because, I mean, it's one of my favorite championships.
Yeah, I think that, like, you look at WrestleMania, you look at these big shows, and I want to see, I mean, to be completely honest, The Undertaker and The Streak has basically been that spot that the Intercontinental Championship needed to be at for WrestleMania. You need to have your World Heavyweight Championship, that's going to be your last match, and then, you know, underneath that, I want to see the Intercontinental Championship defended, and we've got tons of people. If you're not ready to give the title, the World Heavyweight Championship, to Cesaro, if you're not ready to give it to Dean Ambrose, if you're not ready to give it to Wade Barrett, this is the belt that they need to get. And, you know, it's got such a just crazy, illustrious history. I'm sure you know, we've talked about this, you are a huge Intercontinental Championship fan, but, you know, there's been 72 different champions. I mean, that's crazy. That's a crazy amount of champions. And obviously, you know, and we just kind of talked about this, if they ever decided to vacate the United States champion, people are saying, well, that's crazy to vacate it. But the actual Intercontinental Championship has been vacated 9 times throughout its history. So, I mean, people still remember it, and I don't think it would be a problem if the United States Championship had been vacated for a while.
Sure. But Jonathan, I mean, like, you were just talking about how many different champions. I think some of the other little fun facts about it. I mean, the Honky Tonk Man had the longest uninterrupted reign at 454 days. I believe it was from June 2nd, 1987 until August 29th, 1988. And do you remember who beat the Honky Tonk Man for the IC Championship?
I do, and that was probably one of the most vivid memories I've ever had. You know, they said his opponent is, and there was this long pause, and then all of a sudden you heard Ultimate Warrior's music, he comes running down, and big splash, next thing you know, longest reigning Intercontinental Champion, uninterrupted. It was over.
Hey, man, if that didn't give you goosebumps, I don't know what did. It was one of my favorite memories as a kid growing up too, of just, you know, him losing that championship that fast to the Warrior, and I think this just made me an even bigger Warrior fan.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that people don't necessarily realize though is that he had the longest uninterrupted reign at 454 days, but Pedro Morales had the actual championship for a record total of 619 days.
Wow.
So, you know, that's just crazy to think that throughout his reigns, he accumulated 619 days. But that's how much faith that they had in these people back then. They had, you know, they could give the belt for him for, you know, almost 2 years, and he would carry it well. So I think that we go from that to, I don't know if you remember this gentleman, Dean Douglas. Do you remember him?
Dean Douglas, of course. How could I forget?
Yeah, he had the shortest reign at 13 minutes and 52 seconds.
Oh, man. I mean, sometimes they hate where they're such short reigning champions, but sometimes it just works and it's fun, and it just adds to the history of the belt. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of history of the belt, of those 72 champions, there's one that stands out to me as being completely different than the other 71. Can you guess?
I do, and I think you're talking about the one with the Adam's apple.
Well, yeah, I am.
Are we talking about China?
We are talking about China.
The only woman to ever win the championship.
Now, what were your thoughts on that? I mean, as a purist, as far as the Intercontinental Championship goes, were you upset by that? I'm sure there were people that were upset.
Well, not really, because this is back in a time when, like, I don't want a lot of girls to hate me, but it's like, you know, you had girls playing football and girls playing baseball, you know, like mixed gender teams and stuff like that, to where it made sense to me. You know what I mean? Like, she was a big girl, she was muscular, she was fit. It made sense for her to win it, and I had no problem with it. You know, it spiced up the belt a little bit. It made it like, wow, I guess anybody could win it, because I think at that time too, the WWE didn't even have. I could be wrong, but I mean, I don't really remember the women's championship being as big of a player as it was then when she won it.
No, I mean, it was kind of during the Attitude Era, and I think that it was just being kind of thrown around. I don't think Sable was very much in the picture anymore, and they had, you know, just they. It wasn't the caliber that it was shortly thereafter with like Lita and Trish and the whole situation. So yeah, I think that it was good. She had a great partner to her, and Jericho were the co-champions at the time. So I think that's also probably the only time that the Intercontinental Champion was co-held, if you will, at that time. You know, I did my research for this show because I knew that you were such a big buff on the Intercontinental Championship. Not Bagwell. Buff Bagwell. You see what I did there?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you happen to know who the youngest Intercontinental Champion and the oldest Intercontinental Champion are?
I don't remember. Not off the top of my head, no.
Okay. So, the youngest is Jeff Hardy. Hmm. He won the championship at 23 years old. Oh. And this one was awesome as well. 2005, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, won the championship at the age of 56.
Wow, he was 56 in 2005.
yeah, do your math there, folks.
Wow. I mean, it's great to talk about this, though, because, I mean, just breaking down the titles, talking about these facts, it just makes you realize how much of a history it had instead of just what you see today. And it kind of get more respect when you talk about it and, you know, the thing it's the history that it's been through, right? I mean, it's fun talking about these championships and where they've come, where they're going, and hopefully, you know, they don't get just tossed aside and they actually make it something worth, you know, holding on to.
Yeah, now, before we get done here, I have a little bit of I don't know if you want to call it trivia, if you want to call it a game, whatever you want to call it, but I looked up these famous holders of the Intercontinental Championship, and they've all had a different number of reigns. I'm going to give you their names, and I want you to try to put them in order from the least amount of reigns to the most amount of reigns.
Not Roman Reigns.
Not Roman Reigns, okay. Or when it rains, it pours. So the first one I'm going to give you is Pat Patterson.
Okay.
Your favorite, Bret Hart.
All right.
The current, Dolph Ziggler. Christian, Mr. Monday Night, Rob Van Dam, and the Ayatollah of Rock and Roll, Chris Jericho.
All right, so out of these guys, you want me to put who had the least to the most amount of reigns. So
yes.
Pat Patterson, Bret Hart, Dolph Ziggler, Christian, Rob Van Dam, or Chris Jericho? Let me think about this, and I'm not Googling it, by the way. Out of my best educated guess and just trying to think, if I had to put it in the order from least to most, I'm going to say Dolph Ziggler with least. Starting from my least to the greatest, I'll put it in order. So,
okay.
Dolph Ziggler, Christian, Pat Patterson, Bret Hart, Chris Jericho, and then Rob Van Dam. I know Rob Van Dam had a lot, but I'm not sure. So, once again, from the least, I said Dolph Ziggler, then Christian, then Pat Patterson, then Bret Hart, then Van Dam, then Jericho.
I'm going to tell you that you should never, ever, ever go on any trivia. It was a good college try, I'll give you that. But
the old college try of guessing, I guess.
So, actually, Pat Patterson was the first Intercontinental Champion, and he only held that title once. He only had it one time. Hmm. Bret the Hitman Hart is coming in at number two with two reigns. Dolph Ziggler is third with three reigns currently. Christian is at four reigns. Rob Van Dam held almost record-breaking number of six. And then Chris Jericho, and who knows if this will ever be duplicated, Chris Jericho has held the Intercontinental Championship 9 times.
Wow, I would have thought Van Dam probably held the most. Wow, all right. Well, it's kind of a mind-boggler, if you want to call it that. I just made that up. But, hey, if you're going on a limb and try to guessing, that's what I would have went for. But, hey, the more you know, right?
Absolutely.
Well, Jonathan, another show in the can. We talked IC Championship. We talked about going back to Brooklyn this week. We're getting refueled and going to FWE Wrestling in Brooklyn on Friday night. There's also going to be another show on Saturday. And if you can't go to the city, you can't go to Brooklyn, they're going to have free iPay-per-views on their site at fwewrestling.com. Jonathan, I'm psyched. I can't wait for the weekend. It's going to be fun-filled wrestling entertainment. Are you ready? I'm ready.
I'm ready, and you know, if you're out in Brooklyn at FWE and you want to come up and talk to us, please do. We will be there on Friday night, and don't be scared. We're all bark and no bite.
There you go. Don't fear the beards, kids. We're really friendly. If you want to find a lot more of these kind of shows, check out anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. Be sure to buy our merch, Jonathan. We could say that now. We have two t-shirts available right now, prowrestlingtees.com/anotherwrestlingpodcast. Be one of the first 25, and you will get a free sticker and button, courtesy of us. That's just for helping us out, and it's the least we could do.
So if you enjoyed our show tonight, which I'm sure you did, how could you not? We have two huge shows coming up. Next week will be none other than Leaping Lanny Poffo. Can't wait to talk to him, see what he has to say.
The genius.
And this is probably, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, this is going to be probably my favorite episode, will be none other than Tiny Zeus Lister. So if you are familiar with Zeus and you have any questions for him, please let us know and we will do our best to try to ask him. I'm quite frankly afraid of what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to be one heck of a show. You guys definitely don't want to miss it. We're going to have a lot of awesome guests to announce pretty soon. But guys, till next time, this has been
Another Wrestling Podcast.